Welcome back to Remember When. My name is Glenn Parfitt. I'm the host sitting in this week for Susan Woods. And this week we're talking about music and contemporary music in Oak Bay during the 1960s in celebration of their 100th anniversary as a municipality. And the track that we brought you in with is from a group based out of Oak Bay. They were called the Lost Souls. And the lineup of that group was Harry Creech on drums, Jim Smith on guitar, Bill Wilcox on keyboards, and Glenn McTaggart on bass. So that was recorded in 1966 in Oak Bay itself, and I was recording Rod Evans' basement, who is part of our story, and you'll hear about that a little bit later on in the third segment. Now, I've promised everybody a surprise guest in the second segment. In 1967, Victoria had its very own music magazine. In fact, it was probably one of the first music magazines in the country, launched in March of 1967. And in studio with us today is the editor of that magazine, Offbeat Magazine, and his name is Gary Wilcox. Welcome, Gary.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks very much. And hi, everyone.
Thank you so much for coming all the way over from Vancouver to join us here today. This is very good to have you in the studio with us. Now, this is 1967. There's this whole music scene going on. There's you've just had the Summer of Love in 66 go on. Everything's happening, and you create this newspaper. Tell us a bit sort of how this all started for you and what got you to finally publish it out.
Well, this was in the spring of 67, so it was a couple of months before the Summer of Love, which is interesting because we can see pictures of the kids. They're still wearing shirts and ties at the dances, and things haven't really happened yet. How that started, up until that time, I'd gone to university, and I received a degree in physical education, but I decided I wasn't going in the right direction, so I wanted to take some time off. And the first couple of things I did, I got involved in publications. There was the Folio Stars, and I published the first two Folio Stars, and then I realized I like graphic design, and I like publishing, and I started to put ideas together for a magazine.
Now, I'll stop there for a sec. Folio of Stars, for those who aren't familiar with it, was a band directory. Tell us that how it came together. I think there's about a couple of dozen bands in there.
It was a small booklet, and basically it was a band directory. Each group had his own page, and there was a photograph, a description of the group, a paragraph of the members, and contact information, how to reach the group if you wanted to book the group. Now, I saw it both as a directory and also a fan publication because there was nothing really happening at the time. In fact, I think the Motifs were selling a few copies of this at some of your dances.
Oh, that's quite possible. Anything for a buck.
Now, also on there, I saw a sort of an advertisement, a bit of a rally, as it was, for Victoria's own music station for kids. Now, previous to that, the only thing that had come close was Kitten Radio, which was a bootleg radio station, which we talked to Red Robinson about back in January, but there was just a whole lot of things going on in there, and it just seemed like you were trying to kickstart the whole scene, I guess, as it were, locally. And then you went to put this paper together. Tell us more about that.
Well, just getting back to the magazine idea, because the newspaper came right out of that. After doing the Folio Stars, I had a prototype for a magazine, but the problem was I didn't know how to finance a magazine. That's a lot of bucks doing a magazine. And then the front doorbell rang, and there was Don Crocker with a friend, and they were sponsoring a dance coming up, I think, the following weekend. And they wanted some ideas how to promote it. So we put our heads together, and we thought, well, if we can do a flyer that looks like a newspaper, people would read it, and if we put good material in it, they might hold on to it. And that was the birth of the first issue of Offbeat, and that was done just in a few days. And once I saw local groups in the magazine and articles about the local groups, I said, wow, this is pretty powerful stuff. And I gave up the idea of the magazine, and I said, something like this somehow I can afford. And that was so I just focused then on developing Offbeat from that ring on the doorbell.
And then you put out how many issues of this then in total? Nine in total?
There was eight or nine issues.
Yep.
It was roughly a monthly. It started in the spring of 67. So basically, it captured the year of 1967 in Victoria, which was a great year to capture.
Now, for those who have never seen this magazine, again, you can go to the website, www.rcmpsite.com, and you go to the gallery section and look under Offbeat, and you'll be able to see the front covers of all the issues of this that Gary published. Luckily for us, he also brought a couple into the, well, just about all of them into the studio today and has presented them to me as part of our museum that we have of archiving information and various other things that we have at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame located down at Darcy's Pub on War Street, sort of an area where a lot of the original scene was going on. These are great. I also see there's a lot of brilliant art on these, a couple of these issues by Martin Springette. What was it like working with Martin?
It was wonderful. I've never met anyone so inspired or so talented. He is a very gifted musician, and he is a very gifted artist. And he would walk around with a briefcase with a book of Da Vinci in it, and this was his muse. And he was really struggling. He just stayed true to his art, and he's one of the most talented people I know today.
And for those of who have not, want to see some of Martin's artwork, you can see it at martinspringette.ca is where his website is. And he is currently doing a lot of children's books and just, as Gary said, a brilliant artist. Now, we know what Martin's up to these days. Gary, what have you been up to? I understand you did a series of, you're now in Vancouver, and you did a series of photography, BC Photography magazines. Tell us what you've been, what you've done, and what you're up to now.
Did you want me to talk about?
Sure.
I got interested in photography once I moved over to Vancouver, and of course that means publishing. I like publishing, and I started out with five volumes of small size, and then I took a break. Most of the time, usually when I'm doing something like this, I have a regular job. I was working in a warehouse at this time, and then I came back and published the larger format, and it's incredible. I was publishing this out of our home in Vancouver, and I was getting correspondence by people thinking this is one of the top three photography magazines in the world. And on my subscription list, if you can believe this, I had the White House and the Kremlin on my subscription list. I was receiving letters from the United Nations, a Museum of Modern Art. It was just incredible, the response that this magazine brought in.
Oh, he's brought some of these into the studio as well, and of course, it doesn't do it justice on radio, but there's just some absolutely brilliant photography, and there's a lot of historical photography and historical information in here as well, too. Is that something that carries through all of your work, or tell us more about and what you're doing now in relation to that?
Well, I'm a graphic designer now. And I'm very interested in personal histories and local histories. So you're right, history is always something I like to do. I had a job for a while with the City of Vancouver, the Social Planning Department, where I was a graphic designer. And there was a team of four of us responsible for producing a magazine. It was called The Urban Reader. And basically we digested what was happening in cities around the world, and we digested it, and we sent it out to social planning departments throughout North America, and they just read what we had written, and it was sort of just a synopsis of what was happening all over, so they didn't have to read all these books. And every once in a while, we would put out a historical issue of the City of Vancouver, and it proved so popular, we ended up putting out five historical issues of the Urban Reader, which ended up in a book published by Douglas and McIntyre, Vancouver the First Century. So once again, there it is with me publishing and some sort of history.
Well, that's just amazing. And my understanding is that some of that work that you did with them has garnered you some awards and certainly a lot of recognition. So congratulations for all that. Who would have thought that this all started out of Oak Bay? Now, back to Oak Bay, you sent me this recording of your brother's band. What was that like? This must, understand a lot of the rehearsals were done in your parents' home, things like that. You were obviously close to this. What was that like having a brother who was in one of the bands?
Well, actually, I was in the band, too. It was the band that I put together. In fact, Jim Smith and Harry Creech were introduced in the basement on Allenby Street, and I was the lead guitar on the song that we played. When I was taking time off, wondering what I was going to do, I put the band together, but then I realized I started doing offbeat, and so I went into the publications, and we brought in another player to replace me, Ken Williams, with the Lost Souls. And I must say, with that basement on Allenby Street, there's a lot of history in that basement. And I think my dad's listening out right now, and I've never really thanked him. Bill played keyboard, I played guitar. On his own, Dad went out and bought a set of drums to put into the basement. And they just encouraged the music. And I know when I was working with a lot of talented people when I was doing offbeat, and they were struggling. And I would often get them to help me with something on a Sunday afternoon, because I knew we had a big Sunday meal Sunday night, and they would join us for the meal. And my folks were just terrific with this. So I'm just saying, well, Mom passed away about 15 years ago, but Dad might be listening. He's 93, and I'm just saying thanks, Dad.
Well, that's great, because not all parents were very accepting of this sort of noise and racket going on in their basement. We had a wonderful story a couple shows ago about some group of people that husband and wife actually that were in their 60s doing some gardening at a house, and unfortunately they had to leave every day because there was so much racket coming out of this house that they wanted to get away, and it was these kids playing music, and that was only to find out that they were hot heat, and they just got themselves a $6 million record deal. So good for them. What we don't of course, who knows what other people do and where it'll take us. We're going to go to break right now, we're going to, I think we've got a little bit more music coming out of here on the back of the break, and we'll see you in just a little bit.